All right, so we are holding the second line of the widest lines on cephalophoma bays. So six lines from the bottom of the omelet. Okay, we started discussing like this. Our Mishnah had said that a Balkeri is not allowed to say certain, it's not allowed to say parts of davening and including Kriyishma and Shmanesrei and Birkas HaMazon, whatever. We said exactly what he is and isn't allowed to do. But we're going to talk about on Daf Chaf Beis over here, we're going to be talking about the Takana that Ezra made in that connection. We said, Rabbi Yehuda said that he can say Barachas before and after food, unlike the Tanakhama had said only Birkas HaMazon after it on account of Birkas HaMazon is there, right? So Rabbi Yehuda had said both before and after it. So we were trying to figure out why that is. Is it that Rabbi Yehuda B'chlal holds that there's no iser for a Balkeri to say Divrei Torah? We said we even have a pasuk, we even have psukim that implies that there should be such a thing. Okay, so that's Tachanas Ezra, technically, so those psukim are not machta, but still. So we said that Rabbi Yehuda would say that those psukim are actually used for a different drasha, so they're not available to teach us anything about a Balkeri not learning Torah. Okay, so then what's it snap? Let's look at, we're trying to figure out what does Rabbi Yehuda hold? Does he hold that there's no iser on a Balkeri to say words of Torah at all, or what exactly does he hold on the subject? So it's now, we learn in the Mishnah, the last Mishnah of our parak, later on in Daf Chavav, Zav Shara Keri, you have a person who was already a Zav, and then he had Keri. So now, the point is, as a Zav, he's already Tame anyway, going to the mikveh is not going to help him to become Tahor from the Trumas Ziva. For that he needs 7 clean days. For that he needs 7 clean days. But in terms of Tumas Keri, the question is: this Takana that was saying that a Bar Keri is not allowed to learn or daven, should he be toveling at least for that? That at least he could be getting rid of that Tumas Keri. You actually have a Machlokas Rishonim. What are we saying over here? That it would actually get rid of the Tumas Keri and it just remains as the Tumah of the Zav? Or does it actually mean it's not getting rid of any Tumah at all, but nevertheless the Takana is that a Bar Keri has to tovel before he learns Torah, or before he davens? So anyway, so you have a Zav who had Keri, the Nida Shapolta Shechvat Zera. Second case is a woman who previously was a Nida, and now in addition she became Tomei by Shechvat Zera from a Bia that came before she was Nida, being emitted from her, up to 3 days after the Bia, though the Zera is still viable, therefore it's Matamei her if it comes out. So let's say she and her husband had relations on Sunday, Monday she became Nida, and Tuesday she's Koilet, so now she's already Tomei as a Nida, but the Zera is, the fact that Zera came out of her makes her like a Balkeri. So that's the second case. And the third case, Amashameshes Verat Adam. The third case is the other way around. A woman who had relations and then she became a nigger. Where, in other words, in that third case, you would be talking about, as we're going to be saying, as we're going to be saying soon, that we could be talking about she in and of itself, the fact that she had relations already makes her Tommy from Kerry. So we'd be talking about she toibled from that.
Just
the fact that they had relations and Shechvat Zera came into her is enough to make her like a Balkeri in that sense for the reasons that we're going to be saying later. But the point is that now, let's say she toibled from that, but then she became we're talking about, okay, she was Mishamesheth, now she became Nida. So the question is, does she still have to toibel for the fact that she was already Mishamesh? In and of itself, she should have to toivel for that, because if she had not Ras Adam, because then having had relations, she's the equivalent of a Balkeri, and therefore she'd be required to toivel before she daven. We're saying a Balkeri, it doesn't include Nida.
We didn't talk about
this whole Takanas Ezra and Masechta Nida. We were talking about other issues of Tumah V'Tahara. Here we're dealing with specifically the Takana as far as a Balkeri. The Takana applies to the man from whom the Shechvat Zera comes out, as well as to the woman into whom it's injected, and also if she's toileted it. So we have all three cases.
Does she have to toilet it if it's already in and she's coming?
Because then because she may have gone to the mikveh after that. She may have gone to the mikveh after they had relations, and then sometime during the next 3 days, she's toileted it. Then she would be Tomei as a Balkeri again, in effect. So we're saying in all these cases, Tzrichin Tzvila, all those cases, they need to toivel before they can learn Torah or Davin. Rabbi Yehuda poses. Rabbi Yehuda says they're potter because anyway they're Tomei. Now, what's the point? Ad kan like potter of Yehuda el bezov shara keri. Now, Rabbi Yehuda is only pottering in these kinds of cases. For example, Zov, who then became a Balkeri, the Meikra lav bar Tzvila, who we're to begin with, he's not capable of toveling.
Because
then he, as it is, he's a Zov, and he's going to have to wait 7 clean days. And the same thing with the Nida. Av Bar Keri Greda Machayev. It sounds like a plain old Bar Keri. Even Rabbi Yehuda would require him to tovel. So what do you mean that Rabbi Yehuda apparently holds that a Bar Keri is allowed to say words of Torah and words of Tefillah, and that's why he says he can say brachas before and after food? What are you talking about? Apparently he agrees with the basic takana.
Greda
means by itself. So you might say, maybe indeed Rabbi Yehuda says the Chlal that a Bal Keri is potter from toveling. He's allowed to daven and learn without toveling. But and you would say the reason why the Machlokas is presented in the Mishnah only about the case of a Zov who became a Bal Keri is would be to tell you how far the Rabbanan go, that even in that case where he's already Tomei as a Zov and there's no way this Tevila is going to make him Tahar, nevertheless they're requiring him to Tovel. The problem with that is, Ema Seifam, Shemeshes Barath Adam, Tzvich Atvila. What about the third case, where she had relations, then later on she became a Nidah? Now, unlike the first two cases, they were already Tomei, and then they became Tomei from Tomas Keri. The third case is the other way around. First, there was the Tomas Keri from having relations, then there was the Nidah. So, Laman Kapani law. So we have to ask, which of the two opinions, Rabbi Yehuda or the Chachamim, is that third case according to? Ilei Mele Rabbanan, if you're saying that it's coming according to the Rabbanan, then you have to say, in other words, again, if you were to say that the Rabbanan hold the Chlal that a Bal Keri requires Tevila in order to daven or learn, and Rabbi Yehuda holds that not, so we'd be saying that all these three cases are only according to the Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda would say, regardless, they don't have to tovel even if they were plain Bal Keri. Well, of course, Pshita. Of course, it would be obvious that they'd have to tovel. Hashta u'ma zov shara keri. Consider a kavachomer. Madach a zov who became a bal keri, the me'ikra la bar klilahu, to begin with, already before he even became a bal keri, he's not capable of toveling. Mechayvi rabbanan. Yes, the rabbanan and that mishnah are telling us that he has to tovel in order to be able to daven. Hamashameshes barat adam. So the other way around, where the woman had relations, and then she had a flow of blood, the me'ikra bastavilahi. At the beginning, after she had relations, she was already capable of toveling. Then, before she got around to toveling, she became a nidah. Loi kol shekin, wouldn't it be a kol shekin, wouldn't it be a kavachomer that she should have to tovel according to the chachamim?
If even when
the person was tomei before they became a bal keri, and the rabbanon are still requiring them to tovel for the keri, how much more so where when they became tomei from the keri, they weren't previously tomei with any other tumah, and they could just as well have gone to the mikveh at that point. And yet the Rabbanon, even in the first two cases, are requiring them to tovel. So how much more so the third case? So that third case is not needed according to the Rabbanon. Ela lav Rabbi Yehuda. Evidently, it must be according to Rabbi Yehuda. The Davka Katani law, and therefore, not like we thought that maybe the Mishnah is talking about this case only to tell us how far the Chachamim go, but in fact, Rabbi Yehuda would hold that a Bal Keri never needs Tevila. No, the Mishnah is mentioning these cases specifically. Only if she had relations and then she became a nida, then Rabbi Yehuda is pattering her from toveling, because it's true in this case, you could argue that when she had relations, she should have right away been able to go to the mikveh after that, and therefore shouldn't we apply the din? Rabbi Yehuda would say that no, the fact of the matter is, right now she is a nida, she anyway can't be going to the mikveh now, so okay, you're right, when she had relations, she should have gone to the mikveh after that, before she's going to daven, now that anyway, shortly afterwards, she became nida, and going to the mikveh is a moot point. While she's a nida, then Rabbi Yehuda is going to ponder her. Aval Bal Keri Greda Machayev, but implying that if it's plain Bal Keri without any other Tuma involved, then Rabbi Yehuda would require her to tovel. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda evidently does agree with Takanas Ezra. He does agree that there is such a Takana, and therefore that a Bal Keri is also to daven. So why is he saying that the Bal Keri is allowed to say brachas before and after food?
That's because of the Kavachomer.
No, not because of the Kavachomer. The Kavachomer would be why we said that Mishnah, that third case in the Mishnah, can't be according to the Chachamim. We would say, evidently, therefore, all three cases must be according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda would say a plain old Bal Keri does have the tovel, but if there's any other Truma involved, whether the other Truma came before or after the Keri, but right now this person is not capable of coming to her by going to the mikveh, then if going to the mikveh is not going to help anyway, then Rabbi Yehuda is not going to require them to tovel because of the Truma Keri. But the point is, Rabbi Yehuda does agree that a Bal Keri, a plain old Bal Keri, is also to daven. So why is he saying that he can make brachas before and after? Based on the three cases in that later Mishnah. So therefore, so Rabbi Yehuda obviously holds that, when we're trying to develop a thought, let's leave the question until the end of the thought is developed, because otherwise it breaks up our flow of thought. So Rav Yehuda evidently holds that a plain old Baal Keri does need the Toivel before he can daven. So why is he saying in our Mishnah that he can make brachas before and after food? The answer is, you're right. The Mishnah doesn't mean that he actually makes the brachas verbally, according to Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda means he thinks the brachas. In other words, we said in the Mishnah that, you know, when it comes to Kriyishma, the Baal Keri thinks it, he doesn't make the brachas before and afterwards, meaning even in thought, because the Chacham didn't require him to, because the brachas only did Rabbanan anyway. So we said the same thing as far as food, because Hamazin is Daraisa, brachas before food did Rabbanan. Rabbi Yehuda is saying, Mevorach l'fnei l'achareim, not in the sense that he actually has to say the words right now. That's what we're assuming. Not that he says the words, but rather that he's Mahara then. So the question is, and Bapashkus, then that would mean both before and after. Just like the Mishnah, just like the Tanakhama had said in the Mishnah that he thinks the words of Shema, the same way Rabbi Yehuda would say he thinks the words of Birkat HaMazon, because here we discussed before, we had Ravina versus Rav Chisda, whether Hiru Kedib or Dami or not. But so we're saying he can't say the words, but at least he should be Mahar. Okay, the question is, when we Islay the Rabbi Yehuda Hirhur, does Rabbi Yehuda in fact hold that there's such a thing as Hirhur for a Baal Keri, that there is a case where he's supposed to think the words? We're going to see, there a Braita says that no, he doesn't hold that there's a case where he's Mahavir. Either he doesn't do it at all, or he says it verbally. Baal Tanya, we learn in a Braita, Baal Keri she'en le mayim litbol, if a Baal Keri has no water to be able to tovel in, Kore Kriyishma, then he reads Kriyishma, but the Enim Avarach Loi Lepaneh Avloi Lacharei, he doesn't say the brachas before or after it, because again, those are Dirabbanan, and there he can't do them. But Oichel Pito, when it comes to him eating food, when it comes to him eating bread, O Mavarach Lacharei Av Enim Avarach Lepaneh, he says the bracha after it, but not the bracha before it, as we said in our Mishnah. Avo Maharher Belivoi, but he thinks the words in his heart, the Enim Motiv is Fosav, he doesn't say them verbally, Divrei Rav Meir. It's not clear, by the way, it's not clear from the way the Gemara phrases it, by the way, whether Rav Meir is saying exactly the same thing as in the Mishnah. When he's saying, Maharu Beliba Va'ini Motzi B'Tzfasav, is he actually referring to Kriyishma, that Kriyishma itself, he only thinks that he doesn't say it? Or does he mean that Kriyishma itself, he says, but the brachas he has to think, which would be somewhat different than we have in the Mishnah? Anyway, Rav Yehuda Oyma Ben Kach or Ben Kach Motzi B'Tzfasav. Rav Yehuda says, either way, he says it verbally. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that he does say it verbally. So what do you mean by explaining, you're trying to tell us that in our Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda says that he's only Maharer, but now you have a problem. You can't say that, because here you see he's saying mostly responsive, but on the other hand, we established before that Rabbi Yehuda does agree that there is such a thing as Sakonas Ezra, that a Baal Keri is not allowed to, that a Baal Keri is not allowed in Divrei Torah. So how is it? He's not allowed, but he is allowed. What is Rabbi Yehuda saying? The answer is Amar Rav Nachman Yitzchak Asan Rav Yehuda Kehuchas Derech Eretz. What it is Rav Yehuda considers the Shema itself and its brachas to be the equivalent of Hilchas Derech Eretz. Rashi explains that Hilchas Derech Eretz, there's actually a Masechta, one of the Masechta Tanis, which you can find in the back of Masechta Avodah Zarah, Horius or whatever, in a standard edition of Gemara. You have a dozen or so Masechtas Tanis, which are collections of Braises. One of them is called Hilchas Derech Eretz, and you have examples in them. You have examples in them of where it teaches you proper behavior. That's literally what Derech Eretz means. An example, Rashi quotes two examples. One of them is you have a Braisa there that begins Zaukan Chatamar Chachamim. The proper way for Chatamar Chachamim to act is such and such. Another example is it mentions something that Ben Azai says. A person has to keep in mind four things. You have in Pirkei Avos, you have a Chaver Ben Malal says always keep three things in mind and you won't come to Haver. Me'ain Boso, La'ana Tahirla, the Knei also didn't listen to the Cheshbin, and Ben Azai adds the fourth one over there. So the point is that those are not halachas per se, like the kind of complicated halachas that a person has to participate in. They're things about proper behavior. Therefore, Rabbi Yehuda is saying those kinds of things, just like he says, as we're going to see later in the sugya, that he says that a person is allowed to learn Hilchos Derech Eretz even when he's a Baal Keri. He would say the same thing about Shema and the brachas before and after food and whatever, because those are also the kind of things a person knows them. Really have to think into them when he's saying them. He says them, you know, almost out of habit. So you say them every day. So
Does he believe that Shema is
Deraita? Of course, Shema. So he would hold Shema is Deraita, but that's not the point. He holds that these things that you're about carry is allowed, even though Takanas Ezra, very nice, but he would say that's only meant to apply to Divrei Torah, as in the kind of Torah that a person has to participate in, has to think into. We're going to have a couple of opinions about that soon. And he holds, therefore, Hilchos Derech Eretz is not like that. It's just a straightforward statement. And the same way, Shema and the Brachos, I mean, are also similar to that. So therefore, he would say, that's why he says, that he's saying these things.
That's not a thinking. He wouldn't agree that about Keri can learn Gemara.
Like so exactly, that's what we're going to discuss doing it. D'tanya, like this, we learn in a Braita, the Pasuk says, V'hadaitam l'vanecha l'vnei v'necha, we quoted this earlier in the Sugya, you have a Pasuk that says, you should inform them to your children and to your children's children, which means to teach them Torah. The next pasuk continues the day on which you stood in front of Hashem in at Chodev at Har Sinai. So that means there's a comparison between learning Torah now and the way Matan Torah took place. Just like over there by Matan Torah, it was with awe and with fear and with trembling and with shaking. And we know that from the Pesukim, because we find the Jewish people were very scared by Yar HaOm, by Yanu, by Yam de Merachos, and they say to Moshe, you speak to us, etc. Afkan, the same way now, when a person is learning Torah, it has to be the Emo V'yiro B'reshes V'ziyah. It has to be with that mentality. So we're going to see how that relates to a Balkari. One second. We do need to point out over here, this concept of that Torah has to be the aim of a year of Vedasus of Aziyah is brought in any number of places in Chassidus, because we know a person has to learn Torah, having in mind that the notes in it is Torah, from the notes in our Torah, that's the importance, and that's why there's the importance of making a bracha before you learn Torah. Hilchos Derech Eretz is something else. We said that's not. We're not dealing with that. We're talking about when a person is learning Torah, though, they have to have that mentality of fear and awe and so forth in front of Hashem. You actually have a Gemara elsewhere that says well, that when a person learns Torah, Hashem, so to speak, is sitting opposite him and learning. Hashkodesh Baruch Hu, Kodesh Hashem Kenegdei. Hashem is Kaviyachol sitting opposite him and learning. So a person has to learn with a certain sense of aim of a year. The Rebbe quoted sometimes in Sichas, in Maimorim, you have things that the Arizal says that the four expressions over here correspond to the four letters of Shem Avaya. They also correspond to four parts of the person's body, his brain, his heart, his inner organs, his outer organs. So all of them have to be, a person's whole body has to be permeated with the sense of Ema and Yira when he's learning Torah. Anyway, Mikan Amru, so the Gemara says, based on this, the Chachamim said, Hazovim v'hamtzeroyim v'boyin amnidus, the people who are tamei from some other tumah that has nothing to do with ema and yira per se. So a zov a mitzora or boyin amnidus, a man who had relations with a nida. So now he himself is about keri. What we mean is Rashi explains he toiled for the keri, but he's still tamei, as we learned in the Sech Nidity. He's tamei for 7 days because he had relations with a nida. So we're talking about during those 7 days. Mutorim likris b'Torah over Neviim and Ksovim. Such people, even though they're Tomei, are allowed to learn Torah, Neviim and Ksovim. Lishnois b'Mishnah, they're allowed to learn Mishnah or Gemara. They're allowed to learn Gemara. Or b'Halachos of our goddess. So regular Tomeim are allowed to learn any part of Torah. As the Gemara is going to say soon, Divrei Torah are not Makabel Torah. But because we have to have this aim over here, Abba Bale Kroyin Asurin, but somebody who was a Baal Keri is also. Why? Because Keri, unlike other kinds of tumas, involves a certain degree of kalus ruch. There's a certain lightheadedness and casualness that a person has. A person has relations, a person has relations, or a person has machshavas zaris, as the case may be, and whatever, so there's a certain kalus ruch in it. That stands in opposition to being the aim over Yiru over Esses of Aziyah. So it's based on that we have this concept that Baal Keri are not allowed to learn Torah.
Isn't
that
about sick?
We're going to talk about later. We're going to get to sick later on.
Why do we say about Keri is not Shavazaris?
No, what we're saying is this Kalos Rush. We're saying whether he's about Keri because he actually had relations with his wife, there's a certain Kalos Rush in that. There's a certain casualness and a certain lightheadedness in it. A person is not serious when he's having relations, right? But afterwards, he's still in that frame of mind, and therefore he needs to toivel. Therefore, he needs to toivel, So it's based on that. I mean, the actual thing is a Takonas Ezra, but it's based on these tokens. By the way, when we were trying to say before, we thought that maybe Rabbi Yehuda disagrees with that. There's a Tosfos and Rabbi Kama that asked, how could Rabbi Yehuda disagree with Ezra? Right? In general, a Beis Din cannot be mevatel something from an earlier Beis Din, unless the greater b'chachma over minyan. So Tosfos gives a couple of possible answers over there, which actually other Rishonim refer also to later in our sugya when we talk about whether this takana still exists nowadays. One is that Rabbi Yehuda may in fact disagree and say Ezra never made this takana. Another one might be that he says, yes, he made the takana, but he made it in such a way that they made the condition, he and his Beis Din, that a later Beis Din could be mevatel, if they see fit, sort of Yehuda would hold there was such a later Beis Din. And the third possibility, Tosfos says, is maybe it was never poshet b'roiv atzibur. Maybe most of the tzibur was never accepted this on themselves, and therefore then the din is even a later Beis Din, even if they're not greater, b'chachma over minyan can overturn it. So in the end, the Gemara had said, so far, Rabbi Yehuda does agree with the basic takana, he just disagrees with certain details about when it applies and when it doesn't. Nowadays, people get that we're going to talk about later on, we're going to talk about soon, what people do nowadays.
The majority of the Jewish people don't agree on a Takana of the Rabbanan, that means the Takana is canceled?
It means that a later Beis Din is able to realize that and cancel it. One example you have of that is in the Sechter Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says over there that the Takana that goes back all the way to Daniel, that you're not allowed to use oil that was made by Goyim. You think of it just like Cholav Yisrael, for example. You have to have milk was milking was supervised by a Jew. The same way, you had to have that olive oil production would be supervised by a Jew, otherwise you're also to eat it. But we say that the Beis Din of Rabbi Yehuda Nasiya, a few years after the Mishnayos were finished in the early period of the Gemara, were mevatel. The one possibility is because that's an example. If it wasn't poshet b'roiv Yisrael. They found that the majority of the Jewish people during that all those hundreds of years when the majority of the Jewish people had kept it, and therefore they're able to mevatel. So that's one possibility. Okay. Yeah, okay, continues the Braisa over here. Okay, so the bottom line is regular Tmeim are allowed to learn Torah, a Balkeri not, because a Balkeri is not the Emor of a year over Esses of Azir. He has a certain sense of Kalos Rush, a certain sense of lightheadedness, of casualness, of Mikla
Tekbel.
A Tomem Esken, he said, Zovim and Torah, and then he Rabbi Yossi says, it's not that he can't learn Torah at all. He is allowed to learn Mishnayos that are Rogil, that he's used to, Mishnayos that he already knows by heart, and he doesn't really need to partisach in them. He doesn't need to get into them deeply. He's just able to say them quickly. As long as Rabbi Yossi says, now what he can't do is go and go at length into the explanations of the Mishnayos. Yatsia is Maloshin like Matsia at the mitzvah, like to make a bed. It means like to go into the details. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, Matsia ho at the Mishnah. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef says no. A Balkeri can even explain the Mishnayos at length. The Ena Matsia is a Gemara. What he can't do is explain the Gemara at length, because Gemara is a deeper level of learning. Rashi gives a different use over here, not Gemara, but rather Medrash. Because when you're learning Mishnayos, you don't have, not very often, the Mishnayos mentioned Sukkim. Mostly the Mishnayos tell us the Halacha without telling us what Sukkim is based on. On the other hand, Medrash, or Gemara for that matter, very often quotes Sukkim as the sources for the Halachas. And that he can't do. Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef is concerned about he shouldn't be learning Torah Shebachtav primarily. And when he's learning Medrash, inevitably he's going to be learning Torah Shebachtav at some point. Rabbi Nosson ben Abishalom has yet another opinion. Ask Masiya as a Gemara. He could even explain Gemara at length. Although Bad Shalom Askaris Shabai, as long as he doesn't, in the Gemara or the Medrash, according to Rashi's Gusa, as long as he doesn't mention the names of Hashem in it. So he comes to a pasuk that has Hashem's name in it, he should skip the name of Hashem. Which is an interesting side point to that. You know, when we learn Gemara, we often have stuck in that quote Hashem's name. We don't actually say Adnai, there we say Hashem or Elikim or whatever, rather than saying the actual name of Hashem. Rabbi Yaakovem didn't talk about it. He says, based on this Gemara, on the face of it, the Gemara seems to be implying that, generally speaking, you should, and only when you should be saying the name of Hashem as part of the Pesukim, when you're quoting them in the Gemara. He does bring up that point, that on the face of it, based on this Gemara, we should, only if a person is a Balkari, then not. Okay. Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, Talmidei Shel Rabbi Akiva, Mishum Rabbi Akiva, Oimer. Rabbi Yochanan Asandler, who was a student of Rabbi Akiva, says in the name of Rabbi Akiva, yet a fourth opinion. No, Loikonis Lamedrash Kol Iker. A person is not allowed, Balkeri, is not allowed to get involved with Medrash at all, not to do it at length, not even to repeat it briefly. He can be in the Beis Medrash, but he can't be learning Medrash at all, because again, there's always Sukkim involved. the Amri law, another version of what Rabbi Yochanan Assembly was saying, lo yikonis l'beis ha-medrash kolikri. He shouldn't even be going into the beis ha-medrash at all, because he's not supposed to be learning Torah at all.
Okay.
Then we have yet another opinion. So far again, we had the Tanakama had said a Balkari is also without specifying what. Rabbi Yossi had said he's allowed to say Mishnayos that he knows by heart, or some of them of course say these Mishnayos that everybody knows by heart, like Ezo Makoyman or whatever, but not discuss them in depth. We had Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef said you can't do Gemara or Medrash to discuss that at depth. Rabbi Nosson ben Abishalom had said you could even discuss Medrash or Gemara in depth, just leave out the names of Hashem. And Rabbi Yechanan Sandler was saying you don't get involved with Medrash at all, or even that you don't even go into the best Medrash at all. Rabbi Yehuda said he's allowed to learn Hilchas Derech Eretz, like we said before, from the Sefer Derech Eretz, which just talks about things of proper behavior for Talmid Chachamim and for Jews in general, but not actual halachas. So the Gemara says, Maisa b'Rabbi Yehuda Shirah Keri. One time it happened that Rabbi Yehuda was about Keri. V'hoye mahalach agav hanahar. He was walking afterwards with his Talmidim next to a river. Amr le Talmidim, so as they're walking, the Talmidim say to him, Rabbeinu, Shnei lanu perek echad behilchas derech eretz, teach us a section of Hilchas Derech Eretz. You yourself hold, you're allowed to do it without toveling. Apparently Rabbi Yehuda hadn't toveled yet. So therefore teach us that. Yorad betovel, so he went into the river and toveled. The Shana lehem, and only then he taught for them. Amruloi, they said, why do you need to do that? Loi kach, l'matona Rabbeinu shonahu behilchas derech eretz. Rebbe, didn't you teach us yourself that you're allowed to teach Hilchas Derech Eretz? So why didn't you do that? Amalahim, he says to them, Afa Misha Meko, Ani Alachirim, even though I'm Meko on other people and I hold, they're allowed to learn Hilchas Derech Eretz, Machmir Ani Alachmi, I'm Machmir on myself not to do that. So I'm going to Tovel before I teach even Hilchas Derech Eretz.
Okay.
Tanya, we learn in a Braisa, continuing on this topic, Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira Omer, Hoya Omer, Ein Divrei Torah Makabel Truma. Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira says, words of Torah are not Makabel Truma. You're allowed to learn when you're Tomei, even with Tumas Keri, the Pashtus. Again, we would have to use one of the answers that we mentioned before that Tosfos would say, either he holds that Ezra didn't make the Takana, or he holds that Ezra made it at a later base and could be revapulate, or it was never poshut with Rav Yisrael, or whatever. So what does that mean? So the Gemara says, Maisa the Talmud Echad, it happened once with a Talmud, Shahoy Megamgim L'mayla Merav Yehuda ben Beseira, he was reading the Torah, but he was Megamgim in front of Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. What does Megamgim mean? So first of all, Rashi explains, of course, he was a Balkari. Megamgim literally means like he was stuttering or stammering or whatever. So there's a few different explanations of what exactly that means. It means that he wasn't saying the words clearly. He was like slurring them together because he was a Balkari and he figured he's not allowed to be reading Torah. Marsham mentions an explanation, which you also find in the Yerushalmi and in other places, that it means he was leaving out the names of Hashem. We just said, we had an opinion that said you can be saying Sukkim when you're a Balkari, just don't mention the names of Hashem. So whatever it is, this guy was reading Torah in front of Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira, and he was being Megamgim in one of these ways. Amalei, so Rabbi Yehuda ben Beseira tells him, forget about being Megamgim, Bni, my son, Tzach picha v'yairu dvaracha, open up your mouth and let your words shine. She'ein divrei Torah makabel truma. Words of Torah are not makabel truma. So you don't have to worry about being able to, about saying sukkim and even saying names of Hashem when you are Tomei as a Balkari. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Haloi koi dvori ko'esh neum Hashem. As the Pasuk says, Hashem says, aren't my words like fire, does Hashem, meaning ma'esh she'ein makabel truma, just like fire is not makabel truma, after they Torah and makabel truma, the same way divrei Torah are not makabel truma, so you don't have to worry about that you're saying sukkim, but you're going to leave out the names of Hashem, or you're going to slur them together, don't worry about that. So those are all the different opinions about what you can learn and what you can't learn when you're about Keri.
Okay.
Omamar. So now let's analyze that Braisa. We said Matsias, a Mishnah Ve'ena Matsias, a Gemara. We had Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef saying in the Braisa that you're allowed to explain Mishnayos at length, but not Gemara, or Rashi said Medrash, because again, that has a lot of Sukkim in it, and you're not supposed to be saying Sukkim when you're about Keri. So he must say, Messiah Leila Rabbi Loi, that supports what Rabbi Loi says. The Omer Rabbi Loi, Omer of Achabah Yaakov, Mishum Rabbeinu, Halacha, that's the Halacha, Matthias HaMishnah, Veinu Matthias HaGemara. Okay, Rashi actually takes out
the
Mishnah. So you're allowed to discuss Mishnah at length, but not Gemara. Actually, Rashi takes out the word Messiah Leila, meaning that according to Rashi, just Rabbi Loi is saying the statement. That's the Halacha, like Rabbi Yonasan ben Yosef, about Keri is allowed to learn Mishnayos even at length, just not Gemara.
Okay.
The Gemara says Ketanoi. There's actually a machloek of Tanoim on this. Besides the Tanoim we mentioned in the previous Braisa, we have more Tanoim. Another one, we have a braisa that says, Masiyas, a Mishnah Vein, Masiyas, a Gemara, Divrei Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, like Rav Yonasan Ben Yosef said, that you can learn Mishnah at length, you just can't learn Gemara at length when you're about Bal Peri. Rav Yehuda ben Gamliel, Oimim Mashum, Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, Zeb is their author. Rav Yehuda ben Gamliel says the name of Rav Chanina ben Gamliel, both of them are author, both learning Mishnayas and Gemara at length are both author, which would be like Rav Yosi, who said, Eini Masiyas a Mishnah, but Amilo Zeb is their mutter. And another opinion, another version is that he said both of them are mutter. Manda Omer Zeb is their author is actually Rav Yechon HaSandler. That would be like Rav Yechon HaSandler, who said that he can't be learning Medrash at all, or even that he can't enter the Beis Medrash at all. So then, if we're saying all of them are author, that would be like him. Manda Omer Zeb is their mutter, Rav Yehuda ben Beseira. The version that Rav Yehuda ben Gamliel was saying both of them are mutter would be he holds like Rav Yehuda ben Beseira that Dibrei Torah are b'chlal not makabel truma, and therefore Baal Keri is allowed to learn any part of Torah.
Any
okay.
Part.
Any part. Yeah. Rav Yehuda ben Beseira is saying that. Okay. Omer Rav Nachman Yitzchak. Nohug alma kahani tlas sovi. The velt is noyeg, they fear zich, to follow the following three elder Tamar Chachamim. In other words, each one is a das yachid in three different areas of halacha. You have an opinion of the Chachamim, you have an opinion of a certain tana to the contrary, and in each of these three different cases, the velt is noyeg like that das yachid. He's opposed by the Chachamim, doesn't matter. The minhag that people do is a powerful thing. Namely, when it comes to Reishis Hagez, that the Torah tells us you have to give the first shearing of your flock, of your sheep, you have to give to the Kohen. So they hold, they follow Rabbi Loi, which we're going to see in a second what he says on that. Could have Yoshia the Kilayim, they follow the opinion of Rabbi Yoshia when it comes to Kilayim, of planting. Could have Yehudim the Seder of Divrei Torah, and they follow Rabbi Yehudim the Seder's opinion in Divrei Torah. What does that mean? Could have Loi Reishis Hagez, they follow Rabbi Loi when it comes to Reishis Hagez as follows. Jitanya, we learn in a braisa, Rabbi Loi Omer, Reishis Hagez, Einu Noyeg Al Ba'aretz. He holds that the din of Reishis Hagez applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Because he says you have a hekesh over there with truma, because the Torah says that you have to give him truma and you have to give the Kohen truma and you have to give him Reishis Hagez. So in a Torah, truma applies only in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he says Reishis Hagez applies only in Eretz Yisrael as well.
Reishis Hagez is
the first shearing, the first wool that you shear from your sheep. You have to give a certain amount of it to the Kohen. So on the face of it, it's not a mitzvah that has to do with Eretz Yisrael per se. It's not like Truma or Maitzvah or Shmita or whatever, which has to do with the land. On the face of it, it should apply anywhere in the world. And the Chachamim, in fact, holds that that's the case. But Rabbi Loi holds that, no, Rabbi Loi holds it only applies in Eretz Yisrael because of that. So the Velt fears stuck like him, and they only give Reishis Hagez in Eretz Yisrael. Mind you, I mean, I'm not sure how much nowadays they do it in Eretz Yisrael, even in Eretz Yisrael nowadays. I think one thing is they say that nowadays we're really not sure which Kohenim are actual Kohenim. We don't have any Kohenim Yichus anymore. We only have Kohenim Chazaka. So there's an argument to be made that Hamotzi Mechavel of Araya, the Kohen wants to get the Reishis Hagez, he should have to prove that he's a Kohen. I believe that in Eretz Yisrael now they generally don't do Reishis Hagez and give it to the Kohenim. I'm not sure about that. So that's they hold like Rabbi Loi, and they don't give Reish Hagez in cold blood. Should Rabbi Yoshi be Kilayim? People follow Rabbi Yoshi's opinion when it comes to Kilayim. Kedichtiv lois Fizra Kamacha Kilayim. The Pasuk says you should not plant your vineyard with Kilayim. So on the face of it, that means that, first of all, again, that concept does apply outside Eretz Yisrael as well. You're not allowed to plant kilayim in a vineyard, but Rabbi Yoshi Omer la'olam eni chayev. A person is not chayev malchus for that iser ad sheyizra chito usor of a chausen mapolus yad. Only if a person plants a wheat grain and a barley grain and a grape seed all together, and he drops them from his hand all at the same time. Because then what that means is that what he holds loisizra kamacha kilayim implies that it has to be kilayim. That the two other species themselves are kilayim, and then you're joining them together with the vineyard. So therefore, he holds you have to have wheat and barley or any other two species that are kilayim among themselves, and then you're planting them together with a grape seed, and therefore you have kilayim with the vineyard at the same time. So he holds only that is kilayim d'araisa. Everything else is d'rabbanan. Therefore he holds only if you drop all three of them at the same time. So therefore he would hold. And that all the other cases that it discusses in Masechet Kilayim and in the Rambam and Hilchot Kilayim about where you're not allowed to plant grapes and grain within a certain distance of each other or whatever, he holds that's all on the bottom level. Therefore, in particular, it means that he holds it doesn't apply in Chutz La'aretz. outside Eretz Yisrael, the only way that would be osur is this kind of thing, where a person is planting those three seeds together. But if a person, for example, were to just be planting a grape seed and a grain of wheat together, or he were to be planting wheat next to the nearest grapevines or whatever, then Rabbi Yoshua holds that that's only osur that are bought on an outside Eretz Yisrael. It doesn't apply. Okay. And the third thing, that's what we're saying. The velt follows him, and that's accepted la halacha that they can do that. The third one, Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira b'divrei Torah, as we said, the Tanya Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira in divrei Torah makabel and Toma. We said Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira says that words of Torah are not makabel Toma, and therefore that a balkeri is allowed to learn Torah, and the velt holds like him, and therefore they don't necessarily go take the trouble to go to the mikveh before they learn Torah. Okay. He also Ziri Omar, when Ziri came from Eretz Yisrael, he said, "Batluha l'tvilusa." They were mevatel the tvila. This that was saying that a balkeri has to tovel, they were mevatel it. So we'll talk about as we go through what exactly they were mevatel it for learning Torah or also for davening. We'll get to that. Va'amila batluha l'tvilusa. The other version of what Ziri said is that they were mevatel the washing of hands before davening. What does that mean? Mander, I'm about to be lost to Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. In other words, he's saying, like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira, that it's not necessary for the Balkari to tovel before he learns Torah. The opinion that says that Ziri had said that Mubasa Mutilos Yadayim, what does that mean? It means, as we had before in the second parak, that Rav Chista Lyat would curse out Mandam Mahadra Amaya Be'idin Sulsa, somebody who's looking for water to wash his hands when it comes the time of davening Shemana Esrei, and he's going to miss the time because he's looking around for water. So Rav Chista says, in that case, don't bother looking for water. Just wipe your hands on the nearest thing that's available. Wipe them with dirt or on your clothes or what have you, on the wall or what have you, and then daven. So in other words, in that sense, the idiot is saying then with Vato that you don't necessarily, obviously, if you have water available, you're supposed to wash your hands before you daven. But if you don't have water available, then with Vato it, where before that, you would have been required to wash your hands with water before you daven regardless. So the bottom line is, as we said, we have Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira and we have the velt holds like him, that tevilah is not necessary for a balkeri. With that said, though, you have the Rishonim who say that maybe that's only as far as Divrei Torah, but maybe as far as davening, the takana still exists. Actually, there's an interesting thing in that regard. The Rambam writes that the Rambam writes as a matter of halacha, it's not necessary. Technically, it's not necessary. They're mevatel it both for davening and for learning. However, in Arab countries, they had the minhag that a balkeri has to wash himself by dipping in the mikveh, or as we're going to say, through Tisha Kabin before he davens. You can find from the Gaonim, they have actual case histories where people would not daven on a certain day because they were about keri and it was a Shabbos and they can't tovel. They didn't have heated mikvahs in those days. In fact, the Gemara is going to mention soon that there was no such thing as heated mikvahs. And on Shabbos, you could have a person who was too weak to dip in cold water on Shabbos, so therefore, of necessity, he wouldn't daven. The Rambam also writes in that regard, there's a fascinating tshuva from the Rambam, a very long tshuva, where he writes to one of the Dayanim in Alexandria. This particular Dayan, Reb Pinchas was his name, had come from someplace in Europe, I think Provincia or something, whatever. He had moved to Egypt. He being a great Talmud Chacham, they appointed him the local Avbeisin. So he had a lot of correspondence with the Rambam, who lived in Cairo and Fostat, and they wrote back and forth on various matters of halacha. At one point, the Rambam writes to him, apparently this Reb Pinchas had been told that the Rambam was upset at him, and he wanted to find out why and to ask Mechila. And the Rambam says, for a few things, one of them is that you wrote me a letter saying that everybody in your city has been complaining how you're talking, that you're saying that you're allowed to daven without tovel. Where we know from our ancestors that you have to tovel, that a balkeri has to tovel before you daven. And the Rambam says to him, come on, I mean, you know very well that halacha is you don't have to tovel. They have the local minhag over here is that they do. You have to explain that to them. It wasn't everybody besides the Rambam says, with a couple of troublemakers, and no reason for you to pretend in your letter like the whole city is going against you. You should realize that it's just a couple of these guys, whatever. It's a whole interesting letter that Rambam discusses a lot of other side things over there. There's a couple of interesting autobiographical things about the Rambam in that letter.
Who said to who the
what happened is that the people, some people people in Alexandria had complained to the Sefer Pinchas that Ha'itochen, you're telling us you're allowed to tovel, you're allowed to daven without toveling. These people, these Amei Ha'aretz, are coming to the local Dayan over there and saying, what do you mean you, Reb Pinchas, are telling us that you're not required to tovel before you daven, which in fact, where he came from, in fact, they weren't noyig that way. There's this concept that Amam is saying, they were only noyig in Arab countries. So these people are saying, Ha'itochen, you're changing halacha, we're going to go. These people are complaining. Ha'itochen, you're changing halacha on us. We're going to go master on you to the authorities. And so this guy, this Reb Pinchas, wrote a letter to the Rambam saying that everybody's complaining against him and threatening this and whatever. And the Rambam says, first of all, it's not everybody. You know very well there's just a couple of troublemakers. And second of all, it's your job to tell them the halacha. That, in fact, it's only a local minhag that you have to tovel before you daven if you're Baal Keri. Otherwise, the actual technical halacha is you're not required to. And in fact, the Rambam says it's a matter of minhag. In the country, in European countries they don't. In Arab countries they do. In fact, but I'm right in that letter, when Rabbonim come from European countries and visit Egypt or any other Arab country, and they find that the local Jews have this minhag that they have to go to the mikveh if they were about to carry before they daven, the Rambam says they laugh at us. They say, look at that, you're taking on minhagim from the Muslims. The Muslims are very careful about bodily cleanliness before davening. Apparently you're taking over some of their minhagim. But the Rambam says the bottom line is, okay, listen, it's a minhag Yisrael, but it's a minhag over here. It's not a requirement of the halacha. That Amman himself says, though, he continues in the letter, that people claim that I don't tovel before davening, says that Amman says, sheker gomer. I always tovel if I'm a Baal Keri. I always tovel before davening unless it happened when I was sick, because I was going to say soon that when a person becomes a Baal Keri, when he's sick, he's not required to. So anyway, so the bottom line is at least among Ashkenazim, the minhag developed therefore that you don't have to tovel if you're a Baal Keri before davening. There is, because our Gemara is saying that Baflua Litvilosa, and they understood that to mean both for davening and for not only for learning Torah but also for davening. There's a fascinating sefer which you have probably heard of called Shilos Atrubas Min Hashemayim, where one of the Baalei HaTosfos, Rabbi Yaakov of Marvish, his name was. I think he was one of the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Tam. I don't remember exactly. Anyway. He used to write out questions in halacha on pieces of paper and put them under his pillow. And in the morning, he'd get an answer min hashamayim. During the night, he'd get an answer min hashamayim on his questions. That's what Shilos Atrubas min hashamayim. So he asked the question over there, what's the deal with this not toveling before davening? And he gets an answer min hashamayim that says, basically, you know what? That kind of thing is ma'akiv the ge'ula. That kind of thing is holding back the ge'ula, that people are not careful with toveling before davening. So, and then he gets a further answer. Okay, listen, it's not possible maybe to get everybody to go to the mikveh. At least you should make sure that the chazan goes to the mikveh before davening. And in fact, you can find in letters of the Rebbeim that they said that it's appropriate based on other considerations. Even if all the mespalim are not going to the mikveh before davening, at least the chazan should be. With that said, of course, once Chassidus came along, then they revived the concept of going to the mikveh, and that's why you have the more widespread thing nowadays of people going to the mikveh before davening, is based on this. So even though technically Tevilas Ezra doesn't apply anymore, but nevertheless we try to be machmir. Okay, onward. Tonanabam. Balkeri shenotnu olav tisha kabin mayim. A Balkeri who 9 kavim of water were poured on him. So until now, we were talking about toveling in a mitzvah of 40 saw. So now we have instead they pour 9 kavim of water on him. Toher, then he's toher insofar as now he can daven and learn Torah. So the Gemara says, Nochum ish gamzu loch shal Rav Akiva. Nochum ish gamzu whispered this din to Rav Akiva. In other words, he didn't want to teach it publicly because he didn't want people to get careless with the tevilah. So he told him, you should know this is halacha. Rav Akiva loch shal ben Azai. Rav Akiva in turn whispered it to Ben Azai. Or Ben Azai yoso shnol tamidim v'shuk. Ben Azai went and taught it to his tamidim in public. Now, in the street. Now, what does that mean? Did he say it publicly so everybody should hear, or was he with them in the street, but he still whispered it to them? So he must have pleaded about Shrei Amiroim Ma'arava. In Eretz Yisrael, 2 Amiroim argued what exactly happened. Those 2 Amiroim are Rabbi Yosi Bar Oven and Rabbi Yosi Bar Zvida. Chad Toni Shna'a, v'chad Toni Lochsha. One of them learned in this Braisa that Ben Azai whispered it to, that, no, taught it. Shna'a means he taught it out loud. He didn't care if other people hear. And the other version is Lachsha, that he whispered it. So yes, he was in the street, but he still whispered it. He didn't want it to become publicly known. So what's the difference? Manatoni Shna, he said Mishum Bittel Torah, Mishum Bittel Piriviriva. Because according to that version, then as I held, there's a problem if we don't allow this. Like this, not everybody is capable of going to a mikvah of 40 sah. So what's going to happen, therefore? You're going to have a problem of Bittel Torah. People are not going to learn Torah. And you're going to have a problem of Bittel Piriviriva. You're going to have people who are going to avoid having relations with their wives because they don't want to miss learning Torah. So therefore, he held that unlike Nochum Ishgamzo and unlike Rabbi Akiva, who wanted to keep this din a secret, he wanted to publicize it, that nine kavim is good enough in order that this way at least people are not deterred from having relations with their wives and from learning Torah, if all they can get is nine kavim. Umanda Tony Loksha, on the other hand, the version that even Ben Azay whispered at Tehram Edim was, the reason was because after all, he didn't want it to be publicized, because we don't want the Tamar Chachamim should constantly be with their wives like roosters who are very promiscuous and always having relations. So he wants the Tamar Chacham should hold himself back a little bit. So according to that version, it's better that a person that people shouldn't know that nine Kavim is an option. Let them think that 40, that you need 40 Sah is the only option. That way at least, you know, fine, they're going to have the owner with their wives at the appropriate time, but they're not just going to be indulging in it all the time.
Nine kavim is,
and then the mikveh is 40 sah because the chachamim figured out that the Torah says that a mikveh has to fit a person's whole body, and the chachamim figured out that 40 sah is enough to fit a person's whole body.
Because
your kavim is just enough. The chachamim Meforshim explained. The chachamim figured out that when it's poured over a person, nine kavim is enough to cover his whole body. Okay. So actually, you mentioning a shower. Post Gemachronim talk about, does a shower work? On the face of it, it's not a keli. It has a bunch of holes in it. The consensus is it does work. And therefore, fine. So you take a shower. In fact, in the Luach Kol Chabad, for example, you can see a note there that Rabbi Avraham Chaim Na may have calculated and figured out that you average shower, the amount of Tisha Kabin comes out in like within 2 or 3 minutes. So therefore, you take a 2 or 3 minute shower, and that's your Tisha Kavim. In actual amounts, he calculates it as 12 liters in a fraction, which comes out in terms of gallons, comes out to about three and a third gallons, let's say. Okay. Amar Rav Yanai. So Rav Yanai says, Shemaiti Shemekilin Ba. I have heard that there are people who are makel with this. Which means Rashi says they're makel either that they dip themselves in the tub in a bathhouse, which is not a mikveh because it's a keli, and it's mayim shuvim, it's drawn water, or they use tisha kavin by pouring them on themselves. But shemaiti shemachmirin ba. On the other hand, Rabbi Yanai says I've heard. On the other hand, there are people who are machmir and actually tovel and 40 sah. But chalam machmir ba'al asma, a person is machmir on himself, even if technically it's not required anymore. Ma'arichim lo yom v'shnoitav. His days and his years will be lengthened. So that's the idea. In other words, even though technically it's not necessary, even though you can get away with Tisha Kavin, you can get away with going to a bathhouse or whatever, nevertheless, you have people who are machmir on themselves to actually go into a proper mikveh.
The shower is also not very short.
Right. Okay.
But it's not as good as 40 there.
Right, so the same. Right. Okay. Amar Rabbi Shurban Levi. Ma kivon shal tov leshchorim. Rabbi Shurban Levi says in this connection, what's the point of the ones who tovel in the morning? The Baalei Keri who tovel in the morning.
What
do you mean? Morning. Shorim means the morning. The question is, what do you mean, Matt? What do you mean? Rabbi Shurban Levi himself said, based on the psukim, that a Baal Keri is also to learn Torah. The answer is, Hochikama, right. But Rabbi Shurban Levi means, Matt Kivan, by Baim Sah. What's the point that they're being machmer on themselves, a total of 40 sah, extra batisha kavim? They could just have 9 kavim of water poured on them. Masti from the tefila, and why are they bothering to go to the trouble of toveling at all? Efshe ben Asina. They could have the 9 kavim poured over them. So, in fact, by the way, Rashi points out that now the Gemara is going to mention later that really the heter of 9, the Gemara is going to bring a possibility that maybe the 9 kavim heter only applies to a choyla. Only applies to a sick person. However, Rashi brings, based on a Gemara in Nedarim, that generally Tamar Chachamim are considered sick. They have a weaker constitution because they're sitting and learning Torah and working hard over it. So the 9 Kavim in principle would work for them. So Rabbi Shurban Levi is saying, then why in that case are they bothering to go Togel in 40 Sah? So the question is, Rabbi Shurban Levi is saying, so why do they bother? Amr of Chanina, but Rabbi Chanina says, actually, there's a good reason. Geder Godo Godruba. Actually, by making the rule that you need 40 sah to tovel in, the Chachamim, by doing that, made a tremendous fence that it prevents a person from Aveira in some cases. Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. It happened once that a certain man tried to seduce a woman to do an aveira with him, to be mezana with him. Omraloy, she says to him, Reka, you empty person, you boor. Yesh lecha boim, it was a common insult in those days. Like, yesh lecha boim saw shat atoivel behen. Do you have available a mitzvah of 40 saw that you're going to be able to toivel in afterwards? And if you don't, you're going to be also to learn Torah. Miyad pirish, and that held him back, and he didn't end up doing the aveira. So therefore, Rav Hanina is saying, you, Rav Yeshua ben Levi, are saying, why bother going to the mitzvah? But you should know, there's a powerful thing that you see a case like this, it saves a person from an aveira. But actually, Rashi makes a point over here that this woman was a penuria. She wasn't a married woman. We're not talking about an Asian dish. Although there is a version, the Yerushalmi actually tells a somewhat different version of the story, where it was an Asian dish. But she says to him, you should realize that afterwards, you know, he himself realizes, okay, I'm ready to be over. I'm a serious issue of Asia Fish. But after all, I do want to be afterwards to learn Torah. Because, you know, even sometimes you have a person has a Yetzirah, but he's still, so that's okay. So he's trying to prepare that there should be a mikveh available. Meanwhile, people started coming by, and therefore they didn't end up doing it because they would have needed privacy, and now they don't have it anymore. So in the same sense, therefore it saved him. But here in Or Gemarah, Rashi explains, we're talking about she was a penuria. So we're not talking about an Isur Kores or anything like that. We're talking about maximum an Isur Lav, and maybe not even, because according to the Rambam, having relations with a penuria is also daraisa. According to many other Rishonim, such as the Raivet, it's only also the Rabbanon. So therefore, okay, you know, he's willing to be over on Isur Rabbanon, but on the other hand, he wants to be careful with the Takana de Rabbanon of Tevilas Ezra. So this way, that's safe. So according to the Rambam, relations with a penuria is also daraisa, right? According to the Raivet, only if she's mufkeres lesnus, only if she's like regularly engages in this kind of like a woman in one of these houses or whatever. Okay. Anyway. So Rav Huna says to the Talmidim of his yeshiva, why are you being careless with this tevila and holding like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira and figuring you don't need it? Are you saying that you're not going to do it because it's cold, because the mikveh is cold? No problem. You could always toivel in. You could always toivel in a bathhouse where the water is hot. So Rav Chista says to him, what do you mean? How can you toivel in hot water? Meaning, on the surface, what he means is, in other words, that a mikveh can't be hot, but practically speaking, they didn't have a way of heating mikvahs in those days. So if you're saying, you're saying to toivel in the hot water of the bathhouse, but the hot water in the bathhouse is mayim shu'uvim, and it's in a keli, it's not in the ground, so what kind of tevilah is that? So he says, Rav Adaba Abba Koi Kavasoch. He says, you should know, you're right. Rav Adaba Abba agrees with you that's not right, and the only way to do it would be in a proper mikveh, which means if it's cold, you can't help it. Okay. But in other words, fine, Rav Adaba Abba holds like you, but I'm still saying that for this purpose, you could still toggle in a bathhouse, even though it's not really a mikveh. Okay. Rav Zera have a Yosef Ba'agna de Maya Be'masutza. Further on this topic, Rav Zera one time was sitting in a basin of water in the bathhouse. Amalei l'shamei, he says to his servant, Zil v'aisu v'tisha kabin, go bring me 9 kavim of water, v'shodi ilavoy, and pour it on me, because I'm a valkyrie and I need that. Amalei l'pchia ba'amba, l'amalei l'ma'a kol ha'ai, so l'pchia ba'asked him, why do you have to bother with that? V'hayosu v'gavai, you're sitting in water, what do you need 9 kavim poured over you? Amalei ka'aboyim sa. So Rav Zera says, because the rule about the 9 kavim is similar to the rule about the 40 saw. Ma abayim saw b'tevila v'loy b'nesina. When you 40 saw, it's not that you have 40 saw poured on you. You have to toggle on the 40 saw. Ah, tisha kavim, the same way. The rule about that you're allowed to use tisha kavim would be b'nesina v'loy b'tevila. Would only be if it's poured on you, not if you dip in it. So here, I'm sitting in water. That's not considered. That's not valid as tisha kavim. For it to be tisha kavim, it has to be poured on me or showered on me or whatever. Therefore, I told them to bring me that. Continues the Gemara. Rav Nachman tikkun chatzva bat tisha kavim. Rav Nachman prepared a basin or a jug or whatever that holds 9 kavim. That he meant it was designed that this way his talmidim should use it to pour on themselves before they learn Torah. In case any of them are balkari, this way they're not going to all go to the mikveh again. It would be very hard to. Mikvahs are not easily available and they're cold and everything. But like this, at least they'll pour the 9 kavim on themselves. He also said Rav Dimi Omar, but when Rav Dimi came from Eretz Yisrael, he reported Rav Akiva, Rav Yehuda Gluster, Omru, Rav Yehuda Gluster, that's his name, maybe it's the name of the place he came from, whatever. Rav Akiva and Rav Yehuda Gluster said, Lo Shonu Ela L'Choy L'Onsei. This whole heter of nine kavim is only when it's a person who was sick and he became a Baal Keri Ba'Oides. It happened that he became a Balkari overnight, let's say, because and he was sick. But even if the person is sick, if it's that he made himself be a Balkari, meaning he had relations, then Aboyim saw. Then he specifically needs 40 saw. So even though, yes, the Tamar HaChamim HaCholim, as Rashi said before, but when they have Keri, it's generally not Oinsoi. It's generally, why are they Balakeri? Because they had relations with their wives. And Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Yehuda Gluster are saying, in that case, nine Kavim is not enough. You need to Tovel and 40 Sa. Omer of Yosef, so Rabbi Yosef says, in that case, Itbar Chatzvei de Rav Nachman. In that case, Rav Nachman's barrel has been broken. In other words, what's the point of it then? It's not going to be very often that they're going to be Balkari because Chol Oinsoi. Most of the time, it's going to be because Margil, because they had relations. According to what we're just saying, it turns out there's no reason to have this barrel in the first place. We might as well break it. Then he also Ravin Omar, but when Ravin came
to have a barrel,
we said Rav Nachman prepared a barrel that held exactly nine kavim with the purpose that this way the Talmud Chachamim can use it to pour on themselves before they come to learn Torah. But Rav Yosef is saying, based on what Rav Dimi is telling us, there's no point in it. It's very rare that it's going to be used. But then he also Ravin Omar. Then when Ravin came from Eretz Yisrael, he explained, he gave more details. But Usha have a Uda. The case happened in Usha, the city in Eretz Yisrael, where the Sanhedrin was at one point. The Kila de Rav Oshia, it happened in the front room of Rav Oshia's house. The Kila means, Rashi explained, means like the entryway, the entry, the porch in front of the house, whatever. Also, the Shalal of Asi, that they came and asked Rav Asi, what in fact is the din? When do you need nine kavim and when do you not? And when do you need 40 sah? Amalahu, when he tells them, Lo Shonu Ela L'Choy L'Ham Margil. No, just the opposite. This that we say, that you need nine kavim, is for a chola who made himself be a Balkari by having relations. Aval chola l'onse potemiklum. But if he was sick and it was ba'onis, then he says the halacha would be then he doesn't need anything at all. Then he's allowed to learn Torah even without Torah. That's what I was mentioning before. The Rambam mentions in the Shulav is that it must happen that I was a Balkari because I was sick. I always tovel. If I'm a Balkari, I always tovel before davening. Based on this, yeah. So Omer Rav Yosef, if kimit chasve de Rav Nachman. So Rav Yosef says, oh, now Rav Nachman's barrel has been fixed. In other words, now we have a use for it. Because based on this, it turns out that most of the time, the Talmudim can use nine kavim.
For that purpose,
because generally speaking, they're chol amargul. Being Talmud Chachamim, they're cholim. Being that usually they become... Generally speaking, that's what Rashi mentioned before, that generally other things being equal, usually Talmud Chachamim, cholim. Some Talmud Chachamim, cholim, because they break their health over learning Torah. Reminds me of something similar they say about the Rebbeim. One of the members of the Rebbeim's family, I don't remember which one, said that in general the members of those families were very healthy except for the Rebbeim. The actual Rebbeim themselves killed themselves basically by overworking themselves for the tzibur. Anyway, okay. So the Gemara asks, Mechti. Now let's consider. We have this whole machlokas. What cases we need 40 saw? What cases we need 9 kavim? Look, they're all arguing within the question of what Ezra's takana was. The Nechti Ezra Hekitakin. Let's find out. Let's figure out what was the original takana of Ezra, and there we have our answer. Why do we need to have the whole machlokas? Now, Tosfos says, obviously, I mean, you have many takanas where we have arguments among the later Tanoim and Amaroyim what the exact parameters of it were. Fine, because those are things that happen once in a while. But here, every day, you have people who are Balakari and need to learn Torah to daven. So what do you mean? How can there be any argument? It's a daily thing. We should know what it is.
So he's talking about
Talmid Chachamim. No, but even Talmid Chachamim. You have Talmid Chachamim in every generation. You have the Rambam mentions, for you know, when the Rambam goes through the Shoshalos HaKabbalah, the Rambam goes through how generation after generation, there was this person was the leader, was the Rosh Hashiva in that generation, and the Rambam mentions in each generation there were thousands and tens of thousands of other Talmid Chachamim who are not mentioned because they were of a lesser caliber or they were Talmidim or whatever. But yeah, so it's Mice and B'chol Yom. So how do we have a suffix? So the answer is Omer Abayis. Abayis says like Ezra taken the Bori Hamargil Memsa. What it is like this: Ezra made a takana when a person is healthy and he made himself be a Baal Keri, for example, by having relations, that he needs to tovel and for Isa. Ubori la onso test cabin. Ezra also made a takana that a healthy person, if it was an onus, that he didn't have relations, he just overnight, he became a Baal Keri overnight, test cabin, then he only needs 9 cabin. But also, Amiroyu pligi b'chola. So now the Amiroyim that we're mentioning, all the Tanoim and Amiroyim who are arguing with the exact parameters, they're arguing all within a sick person. What do we consider a sick person like? If Ezra's Takana was only about a healthy person, then what exactly are the dinim by a sick person? One says there's no difference between a sick person and a healthy person. A sick person who had relations is just like a healthy person who had relations, so he needs 40 stars. He needs 40 stars to travel in. A sick person who was ba'onis is just like a healthy person ba'onis, so he needs only 9 kabim. That was the first opinion. That was Rav Yehuda's opinion. Well, Mar Sabah. No, the point is, there's no difference healthy or sick. This that was saying Ezra made the takana for a healthy person, it applies equally to a sick person. So the healthy person who is marugil needs 40 stars, so does the sick person who is marugil. And the healthy person who was ba'onis needs only 9 tavim, and therefore so does the sick person. So that was the thing that was your Dini had said on Amud Aleph.
How could a person who's healthy have
ba'onis? Because it's happening. Because it's happening. He had relations. He overnight had a hurim or whatever, and he had. He woke up. He was healthy, but he woke up in the morning finding that he became a Baal Keri. So Umar Sava chola hamargil kaborilain. So the other opinion, which is Robin, says that no, a sick person who has relations is like a healthy person who had an onus. And then a sick person who was ba'onis, where he has both things in his favor. Number one, that he's sick, and number two, where he's ba'onis, potimiklum. He says that the original takana of Ezra was that he was potter completely. So that's why there's machlokas, because Ezra's original takana only addressed a healthy person. Amar Rava, but Rava says, I don't like that explanation. Nihi the tikkun Ezra Tvila. It is true. We can say obviously Ezra made the takana of Tvila. Nisina mi tikkun. Where do you get that Ezra made the takana about pouring water? But ha'omamar, we learn in a brisa in Bava Kamma. The Gemara lists over there 10 takanas of Ezra, and it says over there Ezra tikkun Tvila labali kroyin. That Ezra made a takana of that a Baal Keri has to tovel. Implying he didn't make a takana that he has to pour water on himself in some cases. So apparently the only takana of Ezra was to do this. Ela Omar Rava. So Rava says, no, we have to explain the development of it historically is a little bit different. You Abaya are saying to begin with the takana included two things. Memsa for when it was Margil and 9 Kavim where it was Loinus. So Rava saying no. The original takana was like this. Ezra Tikkun Tvila Labori Hamargil Memsa. Ezra just made one takana. A healthy person who had relations needs to tovel in 40 sah. Nothing else beyond that.
Okay.
So he's bori and he's margul, therefore he needs sah, 40 sah. But also, Rabban and Bis, you know, the bori la'on se teskamin. Later, Chachamim, after Ezra's time, made another takana that if it was a healthy person, but he was ba'onis, then it's 9 kavim. Then he needs to have 9 kavim poured on him. And now, but also, Amiroyim become mifligi b'chola. Now, the Amiroyim are arguing, what about a sick person? So, in other words, again, Abaya has said that both parts, the bori hamargil and the bori la'onsa is part of Ezra's takana. Rabbi is saying, no, those were two different takanas. Stage one was Ezra. Stage two is the chachamim at some later point, out of the part about Ones 9 kavim. And now, at a later point, the Amiroyim, the Tanoim and Amiroyim are arguing what's the deal as far as a chola. Again, but also Amaroi, become if you chola. Mar Sava Chola Hamargil Kabori Hamargil. One holds, which is Rav Dimi, that a sick person who had relations is the same as a healthy person who had relations, and therefore he needs 40 sah. The Chola La'onse Kabori La'onse, and if it was Ba'onis, then we're going to use the Takana of the next group of the second group of Chachamim, and require him 40 sah. So in all cases, a Chola is, 9 Kavim. So in all cases, a Chola is going to need something, but if it was Ba'onis, then 9 Kavim. That's why Rav Yosef had said before, then what do we need Rav Nachman's barrel for? It's very rare that you have Chol alone, say. Or Mar Sava, whereas Rav Jimmy holds, no. Or Mar Sava, Labori Hamargil Memsa. Yes, we have Ezra Takana, that a healthy person who had relations needs 40 Sah. V'chola Hamargil Kabori La'onsei. Say. Then we have a sick person who has relations is like the healthy person who had an onus. Test kavim, so all they need is 9 kavim. That was why Rav Yosef said, good, now we need Rav Nachman's barrel after all, because we're going to be using it very often. Or bori aval cholo la onse potter meklum, but he would say that a cholo who was an onus is completely potter. Okay. Omar Rava, so Rava says the bottom line hilchasa. The bottom line halacha is like this, as we just said, bori hamargul v'chola like this, bori hamargul v'chola hamargul aboyinsa. A person who was healthy who had relations, or a person who was sick who had relations, either way, because they had relations, and therefore it was voluntary, in other words, that they became a balkari, therefore they need 40 sa, or bori la'onso tishakabin. On the other hand, when it comes to onus, there we're going to distinguish. So in other words, Rava is sort of saying, like half like Rav Dimi and half like, like a compromise sort of between, right? If he was healthy and it was bonus, then he needs 9 carbon. But if he was sick and it was an onus, then he would be positive completely. That's the gusa as we have it. Well, the halacha, as we said, that anyway, technically tevila is not required nowadays anyway. It's a minhag nowadays to tovel before we daven, but. We're talking about a balkari. This whole sugya is talking about a balkari. And we said that it's not nowadays it's not required. We said the belt holds like Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseder that you don't need it at all. We're saying a person should be machmer on himself, So actually though, the Rashba has a different girsa over here. The Rashba is brought on the side of the Gemara over here, has a different girsa that Rava is tasking in completely like Robin. That a healthy person who had relations needs 40 sa, a sick person who had relations or a healthy person who was onus needs 9 carbon, and a chola who was an onus needs nothing. So in other words, that comes out. According to his girsa, Rava is paskening completely like Robin, unlike the girsa we have in front of us, which is half like Rav Dimi and half like Robin.
Okay.
Which one do you call? I'm from Hagoy you I don't know if you have it. Yeah, Hagoy Sithionim, yeah, you have it.
In any case, today we don't even
again,
use,
today
use the 9 carbon.
Right, so again, there is an idea that a person should tovel, and if he can't tovel, he should do 9 carbon, because that's the next best thing. What we're saying, technically, we're saying that technically neither one is necessary. But again, as they told, the Baal Shalot the Tribus Men HaShemayim, you know, it helps bring the Geula faster if we do. Okay. Onward.
The equivalent
about.
Way.
Well, what do you mean the equivalent way?
The
preferably 40 so, we're saying. Okay. Tonarabon. Balkeri shenosnu olav tes kavan mayim. Continuing on this topic, a Balkeri where 9 kavan of water was poured on him. Tahar, then he's Tahar, not obviously as far as Tumah B'Tahara, but as far as these dinim about being able to learn Torah. So now, though, we're bringing in a new factor that this is only talking about to learn Torah for himself. But when it comes to teaching other people Torah, then he needs full 40 sa. So that's a new distinction that we haven't had all this time. Rabbi Yehuda, I'm a mem sa, we call Makam. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter. You always need 40 sa. Okay.
So Chavim, for instance.
No, Acherim, no, we're not talking about davening over here. Here we're talking about learning Torah. Again, what we said. Okay, so again, what we have over here is we started this whole discussion by talking about davening, because we talked about Kriya Shema and the brachas before and after it, but then we kind of segued into learning Torah. The Rambam actually learned that what it means is originally the Takana was only as far as learning Torah. Later Chachamim, the same Chachamim that we said that added the concept of a Bori L'Onsai, also added as far as Tula. And then therefore the minhag became that you need to Tovel in order to learn Torah and to Daven. But again, they were Mavafel about Takana, as we said, and now you're allowed to learn Torah or Daven without Tula. Anyway, Rabbi Yehuda, so again, the Tanakhama of this Brisa says there's a difference between learning Torah for yourself and teaching for others. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't matter. Either way, you need 40 sa. Okay, so now let's discuss this. Rabbi Yechanan, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yosi ben Chanin. We have 4 Amiroyim. Chad mehai zuga v'chad mehai zuga. One from the first pair and one from the second pair argued about what it says in the Reisha of this Brisa. Meaning, in other words, we know that there was a machlokas, we know that there were 2 machlokas in between these 4 chachamim about what we just said in this braisa. We know that there was one from one generation and one from the next generation, Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina are Tamidim of Rabbi Yochanan, but we're not sure which one. Was it Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Elazar arguing, or was it Rabbi Yochanan with Rabbi Yosef ben Chanina? We don't know that detail. One machlokas is Chad Omer Hoda Amit Bamedvar Mamam Asmoi Avala Achirim Memsa. One says that this distinction that the Tanakama had made about learning Torah for yourself versus teaching it to others is loy shonu, that for learning himself is 9 tavim, but to teach other people you need 40 sa. Loy shonu elo l'chol ha-mavil, the one opinion of the Amoraim says within that brisa that that would be only for a sick person who became who had relations. But if he was sick and it was ba'onis, then he would only need 9 tavim even to teach other people Torah. So in other words, we'd be combining together what we said before and what we're saying now. The other one says, no, according to the Tanakama of this Braisa, you're going to be teaching 40, you're going to be teaching other people, even your chola, even what was ba'onis, so you have 2 things in your favor, you need 40 sons. So that's the first machlokes. Then v'chad mehai zuga, v'chad mehai zuga asefa. Then you have one of the 2 first chachamim, Rabbi Yechanan and Rabbi Shurban maybe, and one of the second pair, Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Yechanan b'chanina, are arguing regarding the sefa, asefa. Chad omer, one says, hod omer Rabbi Yehuda memsa, mekol makim. This that Rabbi Yehuda is saying, you always need 40 sa, lo shanu ela b'kauta. He would only say that that works only if those 40 sa are in the ground. In other words, that, in other words, well, in the ground, meaning in other words, the water can be mine shorvim, it can be drawn water, it doesn't have to be a natural, it doesn't have to be an actual mikvah, rainwater, but it has to be in the ground. Right. Ava b'kelim loy, but not if it was in a kevi, like a bathtub. V'chadam afil b'kelim nami, the other one says that, no, Rabbi Yehuda would allow 40 sa, even if it was in a kevi. Okay. I can understand the opinion that says that it's good according to Rabbi Yehuda, even if it's in a keli. That would mean what Rabbi Yehuda says 40 saw in all cases. In other words, Rabbi Yehuda says in all cases, he doesn't mean whether the person is learning or teaching Torah. He means whenever you need 40 saw, it can be 40 saw no matter how they are, any way you want. Right. So that would mean even if it's in a keli. But if you say it has to be in the ground, what are we adding by Mikol Mokum? On the face of it, it's going to be a mitzvah then. And the answer is, Lasu Yimayim Shorvim, that according to that opinion, Rabbi Yehuda would say, you can use Mayim Shorvim, so it can be, for example, a pool, but it does have to be in the ground. It can't be in a cave. Okay. The last thing, not the last, but almost the last thing on this, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, Rav Bar Shmuel, Krichu Rifta Bahani Adori, these 3 Amoraim, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Rav Yeshua, and Rav Bar Shmuel, are all eating bread together. It's interesting, by the way, the word Krichu Rifta literally means they wrapped bread, because the normal way they ate bread in those days, their bread was more like tortillas or pizzas or whatever, so they would literally wrap it around the food. Later on, in the Sefer, when we talk about the halachas of brachas, we get the 6th pedic, we're going to talk about the halachas of brachas, and the 7th pedic, when we talk about the din of benching, we're going to be using that expression a number of times. Krichu rifta means, it means they ate bread, but it literally means they wrapped the bread. Because they would wrap the bread, like korvach or whatever. Okay. So they ate bread together. Now it comes time for benching. So who's going to bench and be mostly everybody else? Nowadays, you know, we make a mezuman. One person says Rabotem is on benching or whatever, and then everybody benches themselves. We just answer Amen after his bracha. In those days, when they made a mezuman, what it would be is one person would say all the brachas, and everybody would answer Amen after them.
They
wouldn't necessarily bench themselves. So you can, Shemei Akoyim. So the question is, which one should? Doesn't matter. You can still shemei akoyin. It works by things that are right there as well.
And then they want to have books like we have now.
Yeah. They didn't have. Fine, but they still didn't have. That's fine, but still they didn't have benchers. They didn't have sederim. They didn't have. So it was a common thing.
That's true.
Okay. Amalahura Papa. So the Papa says to them, "Hobu liyidi di livrech. Give it to me and let me be the one to bench for us." Because I have the advantage to Nohu Ilabai test cabin. Because I had 9 cabin of water poured on me. I had been a Balkari, but now I had 9 cabin poured on me. So I'm Toher for that purpose, and therefore I can be mentioned for. Almalahu Rava Bashmuel. But Rava Bashmuel says to them, Tanena. But no, we learned in the Braisa, but Menvo Mumun La'atmoi, Avalachayim Nemsa. No, because when it comes to being mostly other people, you need 40 sa. You want to be mostly us adventuring. Or you want to be teaching other people Torah, then you need 40 sa. You don't have that. Ella hovulibidibruch. So Rav Bar Shmuel says, so let me bench. Because 40 sa fell on me. He doesn't actually mean 40, he doesn't mean it fell on me. That actually doesn't mean he went to the mikveh. Because your papa used the expression nafal alai, therefore he also used the expression nafal alai. But he means he toiled in it.
It's a Spanish expression.
Yeah, okay.
a lot of water.
Amalahu Rabbuna. So then Rabbuna says to them, actually, actually, give it to me and let me be the one to bench. Because I don't have either one. I didn't need either one. I was not a Balkari, and therefore I didn't need 9 Kavim or 40 Sa. Therefore, let me be the one to bench.
But isn't it better than the fact that someone wants to?
You could argue that someone is better off that somebody was Tomei and then became Tahor, but he's saying that after all, so he's saying I never became Tomei in the first place. And with that said, there are Mefarshim who understand that what he means is you can let me bench because even though I didn't go in 40 Sun, even though I didn't go in 9 Kavim, as we said on Amud Aleph, the Takana doesn't apply nowadays, and therefore there's no problem with me benching as well. Even in other words, according to the first understanding, Rashi is saying I was not a Balkari in the first place. According to the other explanation, we're saying I was a Balkari, but nevertheless, the halacha is you don't need the table, or you don't need 9 kavim even to be motzi other people, so you might as well let me bench. Okay. The Gemara says one last thing. Rav Chama tovel b'mala yoma de Pesach. Rav Chama would tovel on Erev Pesach lahotzi rabbi midei chevasan in order to be motzi other people with their chayva. What exactly does it need to be motzi them? One explanation is, and I think the Ritva says in particular, the bracha before Hallel. Now when we say Hallel by the Seder, we don't say a bracha on it, but he apparently held that you do, and therefore he needs to be motzi people with it. So therefore he would make a point of toveling on Erev Pesach, because we're saying you need to be motzi other people, you need to have toveling. However, the Gemara says, v'les hilchsakabah say, the halacha is not like him. You don't need 40 saw for yourself, all you need is you need 9 kavim. The same way to be mostly other people, all you need is 9 kavim, or maybe even you don't need anything, because again, like Rabbi Hoda ben Maseda says, Bafluwa litvilusa, they're mavafo the whole thing. So therefore, okay. Now, so one last thing over here we still have to ask. Again, we were discussing, is there a difference between learning words of Torah versus davening? So Tosfos starts by saying over here that yesh mefarshim, that there is a difference. For Torah, you don't need 40 sah, but for tefillah, but in order to daven, you would still need the tovel before you daven. According to Tosfos, Tosfos brings one such possibility. But then the Ri says in Tosfos, no, it doesn't matter for tefillah, it doesn't matter for davening or for learning. Which, as we were saying before, in Ashkenazic countries, in European countries, that in fact became the minhag that you don't need the tovel at all, not for davening and not for learning, as opposed to in Sephardic countries, at least in the Rambam times, the minhag remained that you need the tovel before you daven. Then Tosfos, by the way, says one more thing. Given that nowadays a man toveling is not required of the halacha, that means even when a person tovels Erev Yom Kippur, which is a much stronger thing to tovel before Yom Kippur in order to be tohar on Yom Kippur, you don't make a bracha on it. Because there's no time when a man is toveling. If we said that Takanas Ezra still applies, you would make a bracha on it, just like you make a bracha on other Takanas of Chachamim. But because the whole thing is not noted nowadays, not for davening and not for learning, and it's not required. One possibility is because it was never adopted by most of the Jewish people. But whatever the reason is exactly, the fact is we said it's not applicable nowadays. We said Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira said that not, and the belt holds like him. Therefore, there's no time, even Erev Yom Kippur, when you're toveling, that you make a bracha.
Women do make, right?
Women do, because they're required to. Obviously, when they're near there, they have to. So they, and also, when a ger tovels, he makes a bracha, because that's the tevilah that's required. Then they make a bracha. So that's the maskana, therefore, is it's not actually required of the halacha for learning Torah according to anybody, and not even for davening according to the majority of poskim, although the minhag in some places was. But nevertheless, we still have the fact that we make a point of toveling is based on the idea that it's still the correct thing to do. It's still good to be machmer on it, and it helps bring the geula closer. Okay.